With that said, let's stand all together. We are going to get in the Word this morning, and I am so excited because we have something special that we haven't ever done before. So hold your Bibles or do the hand motions with me. We're going to say, "My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says. And my voice will declare the truth of His word." You may be seated. And Jesus, I am so excited about what You want to do today. Lord, help me be that willing and able vessel. Help me speak what You say and do what You want me to do this morning. Lord, let lives be changed, transformed. Let them not leave the same way they came in, but let them find that hope and that joy and that peace and that will and plan for their life that You have for them, Lord. We love You and we thank You. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so interestingly enough, you might not have seen Chris do this before, but I've got paper notes to go along with my digital notes. So I've been really seeking the Lord on what we're going to do today, and it's been in me for a while, and as I was telling Pastor Glenn, which I think he's out there right now, but it's one of those things that I often know well in advance what I'm going to say. Usually it's me getting quiet enough to figure out how I'm going to say it. So this one was one of those like, okay, Lord, I have a good idea. You know, we're talking about Sabbath. We're finishing our little mini series on Sabbath. And you know, I almost heard some of us in this room, I will name no names, but 3 sermons on this topic? Are you kidding me right now? Like, we're talking about Sabbath again, you know, and I don't know if you heard the first time, but it meant a lot to me. It really sunk in my heart when I was on a leadership call and we were talking about the Sabbath. It was one of many topics that we talked about. And it's pastors, businessmen, people that aren't in church at all, like a variety of leadership. And this topic of Sabbath came up. And they said, "Oh, cool, you know, this is important to you." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's important to me." And they said, "Well, how often have you heard it preached on?" And I'm like, "Man, almost never. Like, I can't remember a time." And then they really, you know, they went in for the uppercut, and they said, "How often have you preached on it?" And I'm like, "Never. All right, we're 2 for 2. Like, this is not good." So so I felt really prompted by the Lord that, hey, here's your sign. Preach on Sabbath and make it a regular thing. So because it is important, this will be something that we talk about in multiple ways moving forward. So this has been an introductory, if you will, to Sabbath. And today, what's on my heart through the study time that we've had, we've talked a lot about what it is and all of that. But today we're going to talk more about application, and I got something special for you in a little bit. So as a quick recap, something that I wanted to share with you as it pertains to Sabbath, if you didn't see it, is if you read the creation account in Genesis, out of all the things that God did, what was the thing that He made holy? Seems pretty important to me, right? And then here's what He told me as I was praying about this, and we're going to talk about this more. But if I was to sum up this message, here's what He wants. He says, "I want each of you to discover a rest that is fueled by communion with Me. I want each of you to discover a rest that is fueled by communion with Him." Are you with me on that? All right, so here's Chris's question for you. Can you celebrate an entire day with Him? That's what we're talking about, 24 hours. Can you do that? Or, much like I feel, at least in my life, I've experienced this, maybe you're here with me, or do you feel like it's an evaluation day? Like, I'm put to the test. Like, some of the deep places inside of me are being exposed, and I don't know that I like this very much. This is uncomfortable, right? It hurts. It doesn't feel good. So you shy away from it because there's that growth, that painful growth, right? Sometimes that painful growth is necessary. You need it. You need those places exposed. You need to be seen before Him. And sometimes that exposure feels like, I have no control, you know. And what I will propose to you in this is you didn't have control anyway. You thought you did. So let's just stop kidding ourselves and realize I don't have control. And when I assume that I'm in control, I usually make things worse. I'd rather have his control, right? Pete Scazzaro says, and we talked about this last time, the Sabbath is a 24-hour block of time where we stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight, and contemplate God. So work, rest, delight, contemplate. We've talked at least about the first two. We're going to talk about delight, practicing delight and contemplating God today. Last week, I ended with two scriptures, and I want to read them to us today, both versions. But it's found in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in the Message, Christy and I really, when we talked about this, I really enjoyed the way this put it. But here's what it says in the Message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come on, somebody. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. That one really stuck out to me this time. Not just easy going, there's work, but it's the way he wants to do it, right? Watch how I do it. How often do we work with the Lord? Come on, guys. How often? I already know how to do this, Jeremy, right? All right, I got this. I've been doing this for years. Never fails. And the first thing you do is you slam that hammer down on your thumb. Well, apparently I haven't been doing it long enough, right? I just made a big old boo-boo and almost destroyed my finger in the process. Am I watching how you do it? Am I watching? And so I encourage you, man, write this down. Take that note. All right, Lord, everything that I do, regardless of familiarity, how do you want to do it this time? Because I can probably ask many of you in this room how you would do something, and I'm probably going to get a number of different responses, different ways to go about it, right? So we can come into agreement in that case that there's probably a dozen ways to do something at the least. Hey, God, how do you want to do this today? Right? Then I like this last part. I shared this last time. The last part of the verse in the Message was, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the kicker, is so many of us, yeah, we work hard. I don't know if we live freely and lightly all the time. Kind of waxes and wanes. So that unforced rhythm of grace means that he has a plan and a process, and it allows you to have the strength for the moment that comes from him, but we often don't move in that rhythm. We fight against the rhythm. We fight against the current. And we're like, I'm taking this land for Jesus, and it's a struggle. And he's sitting there looking at you like, the struggle is not you and the enemy. The struggle is you're not doing what I told you to do, right? You think you're fighting against the devil, and he's just you know, resisting you the entire time. And it's like, hey, it's you, you know, not him. Stop giving him credit. Sometimes it's us. So let's not swim against the current, thinking we're taking this mountain. We're going to have that victory. Sometimes those things are good. Jesus gives the victory. Don't make any mistake about that. But often we're swimming against the current, and we're making it harder on ourselves when he said, just follow me. Okay? So, here's that little nugget. Sometimes the simplest answer in all of this is to yield our will and our way and allow him to take over. Come to me. He said it at the very beginning. Come to me. We don't look at that all the time. So my request for you in this bullet point is return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. Little nugget. Sometimes we don't have a problem with accepting Jesus as Savior. We have a harder time accepting him as Lord and Master. Oh, I believe you can save me, but I don't know if I want you to tell me what to do. Right? I will take that free gift and I will run to the bank. But that's not always what he said to do. Okay? This is a much longer nugget. You guys, you're going to have to go with me on this one. So I was thinking about the creation story. We shared it a couple weeks now in Genesis verses 1 through 3. And a few things that came to mind. And this is, so I liken this to what Paul said, where he's like, this is not the Lord speaking, this is me speaking, but I feel like I have the heart of Christ. Are you with me? So I feel like this is a God bubble, but you take this and apply this, or don't apply it, throw it out the window if you want to, but this is just my early morning thoughts as I'm seeking the Lord on this. In the creation account, we see in the days of creation, God says, after he completes it, he makes a statement, it is good. When God makes mankind, he had something else. What does he say? Do you know it? Very good. And so I was processing this because we shared a scripture, I think the first week. And when Jesus was approached by a man, he said, good teacher. Jesus is God. If you don't know this, you know, newsflash, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Jesus is God the Son. And so his statement to him has often, you know, it's one of those things that I'm still searching it out with the Lord. I believe I know that what he's trying to say, but nonetheless, at first listen, he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except the Father. And so I'm processing this with him, and I said, you know, God, in the account of creation, before sin, mind you, so that's a key element. But in the account of creation, you call everything that you do good. And then you call us very good. And here's the picture that he gave me. Now, I have kids, so this resonates differently with people, and I understand that. But here's what he told me. He said, just as you, when you hold a newborn baby in your hand, or when we just got our cat, she's not very old, she's a little over a year, or when you get a pet, goldfish, whatever, I don't know your style, but what I did is she was really skittish, our cat. And so we allowed her to pick her room, and every morning I would wake up super early because she's like, meow! And she's like, I want food now, right? You know, so the very loud, aggressive meows, right? I think I did that pretty well. yeah, she's really mad. And so I would sit in there with her as I was checking email or brushing my teeth or getting ready, whatever, however long it took her to eat, and I would speak blessing over her. You're such a good kitty. Sometimes I would speak in tongues. I don't know if she understands what I was saying, but goodness, she was getting a prayer. But I was blessing her, and I was speaking blessing over her. When we had our kids, the first thing I would do when I'm holding them for mama, mama's finally getting rest. Y'all need to make sure these mamas get rest. I didn't see her today, but I was going to tell her, baby Zoe, hey, anytime you want me to hold baby Zoe, even if I'm preaching, I will hold that baby and let you have a break, right? Make sure you're offering rest to the people that aren't getting it right now. But when I did that, I was looking at these little guys, and their faces are going to turn red. But over the boys and the girls, man, you're so handsome. Man, you're so beautiful. You're so blessed. You're so loved. You're so good, right? And I'm pronouncing those blessings over them. And what he said is, he said, all praise belongs to me. Our focus and our goal is to bless the Lord. That's why we were created. And in our first day, not only did we already cover that in our first day of existence, he gave us a rest with him, but he was showing us in this story, how to bless him. He said, I'm going to show you how to bless me by blessing you. I'm prophesying goodness over you. You are very good, and I love you. Can you see that today? Here's what we have, and this is going to not feel good. Everybody's familiar with witchcraft, right? Did you know that it still exists today? Did you know some practicers of witchcraft happen to be Christians and they don't realize it? You want to know one of the ways you do that? when you're cursing and destroying something that God called good. You ever been walking around your house one day and for no apparent reason, you just start feeling off? You just, something shifts and you're like, man, what's going on? I've got a heaviness, or I don't feel well. I feel disoriented. I feel like my equilibrium's off. And I'm going to tell you, and this may not be something that you're familiar with, but you just got to understand that it is and ask the Lord to show you. But our idle words when we're in conversation in what we assume to be the privacy of our own house, man, did you see Pastor Chris? What in the world was he thinking? What an idiot. Why did he say that? Why did he do that? Man, I feel so unloved. He didn't do this, or he should have done that. I'm giving you an example, most likely a real one. But as we speak those things, we're prophesying those things over the individual we're talking about. We think that it's harmless. This is why God says not to do it multiple times in the Word. We think that it's harmless, and we're actually projecting those volleys of arrows onto our loved ones. And while we may be frustrated, and while there may be a part of that that is justified, we want to know what the better solution is? Call them, pray for them, but hey, can we talk? I've got some things on my mind, and I think the best place for them is for you. I want you to see my heart and feel my heart, because I don't want to hurt you, just as you don't want to hurt me. That's the proper response. I'm not talking about them behind their back, because you're practicing witchcraft. I don't think any of us wants to openly sign up for that, right? Are we together today, at least in that regard? All right, let's not sign up for that. So I saw this and I said, God, it's right there. You want us to partner with you over speaking life over creation. So if it's not something that you do, funny part of that story is I don't think Pepper could eat for a good number of months without me in there proclaiming those good things over her. So I still tell her that she's good, and I love our cat very much and my children very much, but I don't sit with her for like the good 45 minutes and just continue like, all right, we're going to wean this back. You are good, and I hope that's in you now, and I don't have to just, you know, beat you over the head with it, if that makes any sense. So just thought it was pretty funny. Christy's like, you know what you've done. I was like, what are we talking about? She's like, she won't eat unless someone's talking to her, you know? So it was pretty funny. So we had the first point of return. As I pressed in, remember, our statement is, he wants us to discover a rest that is fueled by communion with him. Guess what came to mind? Psalm 23. Most of you can quote it. I'm going to have them pull it up. We're going to read it in the New International today. I did not memorize it this way, so you may throw in your other words there, but it's okay. We're going to read it in the New International. So verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? If you don't have a practice of reminding yourself of this, I encourage you to do so. I want to talk about it a little bit, though, as I was thinking about the importance of recharging, refueling, whatever word you want to use, restoration, especially as busy and chaotic as the world is, I just asked the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, how do you want me to explain? How do you want me to describe what you want to do in us? And this is the scripture that he gave. And so some thoughts that I have here is I just love seeing Jesus as our shepherd. So that's who we're talking about when we say our Lord. Even all these years ago, David was seeing prophetically into the future. And so I love what Jesus is doing to recharge David. But what happens if you read the scripture and you're like, I don't know if I'm really recharged. I don't like the outdoors. I'm proposing to you that this is but an example. If he owns everything and he's created everything, don't you think he knows exactly what recharges you? What just connects to your heart immediately and directly? And so while for many of us, just by the nature of this scripture, it's encouraging to us, the things that are described in the scripture, I believe, could possibly pertain more to David than some of us. You're like, well, I don't like the sound of water. You know, it's like David did, right? Some of you are like, you know, grandma put a one of those little waterfall things in her koi pond. And some people were like, that is the most annoying sound on the planet. What is wrong with you, right? You know, and then the birds would swoop in and they just thought it was food, you know, so they'd swoop in and grab the big fish. So like, for some people, that was more work. It's like, they're stealing all your fish. It's noisy. And like, this is work. Like, this isn't peaceful. Are you kidding me? Right? So giving you a little example here that for David, man, all of this, every part of it was a blessing. And then he started describing things that we're all going to experience, that valley and knowing that God is with us, right? The table in the presence of our enemies and our heads being anointed, right? So these things are all the imagery that David was using. And I encourage you, by the time we're done here, I think you need to take that personal inventory of your life. God, what delights me? What is it that you've created in me that connects with your heart so perfectly well that's our thing? What refills me, right? That's what we're talking about. What feels effortless? So with that said, here's our fun part. I'm going to ask Stephen to get ready and Christina, go ahead and put up the question slide. We normally don't do this kind of thing, but God said to, so y'all take it up with him if you don't like it. But I want you to look around the room, so don't move anywhere. I want you to look around the room and find someone who does not live in your house. The goal or idea is to find someone that you don't know because you've already asked them or you've seen it, because it kind of defeats the purpose. But I want you to think in your mind, what is one or two things that I can think of that I can maybe guess that fills them up, that they delight in, that's not work to them? And then once you have that in your mind, I want you to write it down. We have these little note cards on the floor here. Eli, will you help them grab these? Eli and Daughtry, will you guys just go down the aisles here and make sure everybody has their cards? There's pens in the backs of the seats if you don't have any pens. So let's just get ready. And when you find that person and you guess what refills them, I want you to write it on the back of the card, but you're not going to tell them. You're going to go to them and you're going to interview them. And on the other side of the card, the empty side, you're going to ask them the question, tell me one or two things about yourself that don't feel like work. It fills you up. It's a delight to you, right? And I want you to write that down. So one quick tidbit. We're not preaching our life story. We only have a few minutes to do this. So maybe tell them the one thing and maybe a little bit of why it's the one thing, but try to be quick here. And then once we're done, we're going to see if it matches what you might have wrote on the other side. You don't have to do the guessing game if you don't want to. Just sit there quietly, wait until we release. But let's just take a minute, find someone, scan the room, someone you don't know that you want to get to know. And if you want to guess, write it on one side of your paper. And then I'm going to release this in just a second. For those that are online, Stephen and I will be watching the comments. Please let us know what you delight in, what refills you. All right, in the event that you find someone that someone else has already found, just, you know, let them go for it. Don't trample over everybody here in getting to your person. You may have to find another. That's okay. It's fine. Just recenter, figure out, you know, who it is, write down the thing, and then go for it, okay? All right, go ahead and find your person. All right, raise your hand if you don't have a person yet so I can see who's available. I think I've got two or three guys up front, so. Who doesn't have a person? All right, and if you're at the point where they've told you they're one or two things, show them the back of your card and see if what you guessed, if you did that part, show them if what you guessed matched. And then the last thing you'll do before you go back to your seat, give them the card that you interviewed them. I want them to have what they told you. None of it was premeditated because you asked them, you interviewed them. So give them the card that you filled out. All right, so just as we're finishing up, I still see a few talking. It's okay. As you finish up, give that person the card that you used to interview. So the card that you will possess in your hand when we're done is what you said about yourself. I have some extras if we need them. All right, I'm going to, while we're still asking any questions or finishing up or writing anything down, take your time writing if you had a lot to write or you wanted to share, but make sure they get it. Let me give you some examples of some answers I got. Just a quick little funny. Turkish delight, we call this the Johnson delights. So here's some of the Johnson delights for Christy. Christy's, you know, and what I was going for is not the overly spiritual. We all can say, I love praising up a storm. It may be true for you, but that's why I said 1 to 2. Like, give us some practical examples too. So here's some practical examples that might shock you, and you're going to say, ugh, that sounds like work, or that doesn't sound very enjoyable. That's the idea. So Christy's was watching movie with family, just to give you an idea. I'm not a big movie watcher. I'll do it with them, but that's part of where I partner with them in their Sabbath, is that's one of the activities they like to do, not one of mine. So you start seeing where this kind of matches up. Here's another one that's interesting. Christy said, I love organizing, rearranging, decluttering, basically spring cleaning. Anything that provides a change, I delight in that. It's not work. It's easy, right? I don't like that, right? So for me, it's like, oh, that sounds terrible. I don't, you know, but that's the point. She's unique, right? All right, listen to Isaiah. So these were not in here. I wasn't going to cheat and give you Kaya and Eli's, but here's Isaiah's. Isaiah, if you know him, Isaiah's is storytelling. So Isaiah has written or created some comic book stories and kind of drawn it out, most of you that he's shown it to. He's also done some rap songs with obviously a Christian background to it. And so he likes storytelling, but here's why. He likes to see their reaction. He wants to know what you think. Like, what does that do in you? What do you think about this, right? Here's another thing that he likes. He likes to travel. If my dad was in here, my dad will tell you, when Isaiah is over at dad's house, if they are in his neighborhood or if they are at a restaurant, Isaiah will go talk to the new person and almost inevitably, he invites them to church. I get stories all the time about how Isaiah is inviting every person he meets under the sun to church. That's awesome. For some of us, we start getting, an upset stomach. We're like, oh man, the anxiety is heavy now. What do I do? I have to talk to somebody, right? For him, not so much, right? So some of us have to work at it. So it's classified differently, right? These are things that are not work. These are things that refill you. Here's Ava's. Ava's was using her imagination for stories or playing with toys. So whether it's the Barbie dolls, whether it's just the baby dolls, whether it's she plays with the boys' toys too. She's got three brothers. So she'll drive cars and they're telling a story and using their imagination and all kinds of things. And guys, I'm telling you, regardless of whether it's a kid or not, she could play for hours, and it's not like, you know, any time has passed or any work was done. It's like, we're smooth sailing. This is good. Whereas her brothers, who don't always like this, are often like, are we done playing? I just want to do anything else, something else. Please help me, right? And then some of you that know Ava have seen her little notes, or she's given you a little note. Ava loves writing, she loves books, she loves creating. So often, if you get to know Ava, and it's not work for her, it's not a chore for her, she will bless you with a note. Sometimes it's legible, sometimes it's not. She will usually decipher it for you and tell you what it means, but that's something that she finds joy in, all right? One of mine, and you guys know this about me, it's travel. Some of you hear that word and you're like, I don't wanna drive. Anybody else can drive, but not me. Right? But I like it. I like, I am with David, my man. I'm like, yes, still waters, streams, moving water, mountains, valleys, whatever it is, that's my jam. That's what I like. Those things, going to those places, being in those places are not work. Even if I was working, it's not work. It's just different, right? So each of us, and I hope what you learned about yourself, the reason why we did the activity this way, was I was in my quiet place, and God said, hey, we're going to do something. And my immediate thought was, this sounds like a good activity for Christy. And Christy's like, did God say that I should do this exercise for the church, or did he say you should? Well, he said, I should. I just thought you'd do it better, right? You know? And so what we were trying to get out of this is if I was to think and ponder, man, I could write some of the coolest stuff on the planet. Like, this is what I love to do. Look how holy I am. Look how cool I am. Whatever. But if someone is interviewing you, you're most likely to give a gut response. And honestly, it's probably the most true about you. So that's why we did it this way. So I hope the card that you received was what you said, because we're going to use it in a second, so make sure you keep it. And just as a quick little tidbit, just if you want to share, who guessed and who was right? Did anybody guess for their person and was correct? So I've a couple hands, okay? That's cool. Was it cool when you were like, holy smokes, like I got it, right? All right. Can I stretch your faith, stretch your belief system a little bit? Did you know that's prophetic? When you look at them and you say, God, I wonder, what do they like to do? And you get something that you weren't premeditating on and it just drops in your spirit. Hey, you crush your dreams, but you don't know everything. That was God. So you moved in the prophetic that way. And then I'm going to stretch you a step further. All of you are capable of that. It's not for any one person. All of you are capable of doing that. All of you are capable of using all of your God-given senses to do that. You just have to work at it. Remember what he says? Walk with me and work with me. Okay? So hopefully you were blessed by this. We're going to use this in a second, so don't let your card disappear from you too far. Now, something that I think I touched on a little bit earlier, but I just wanted to recap this before we close because we're almost done here. As I said, as I was describing the Johnson delights, was sometimes there's activities that our families, our friends, our loved ones, people that we're close to, church family, etc. There's some things that they like that refills them and restores them that we don't like. In fact, it's work for us, or maybe it's something that we do every day, so it's not special, it's not sacred. I encourage you that as you have practiced this activity with someone else here, that now you can go back and do that at home or do that with your family when you meet over Christmas and discover what restores them. And the discovery isn't just for head knowledge. The discovery, and maybe you'll try the guessing part of it too. I think that'll be cool. Hey, Lord, tell me what it is, right? Because you might be guessing, but he's not. And as you learn those things, seek to do them. Find out what fills them up and make an effort to practice Sabbath their way one time, right? Just getting an experience of what does restoration look like for you? Can we do that together, right? I think that's cool, and that's what I feel that the Father's heart was for this activity is it's learning to do it as a family. Learning to do it as an extended family, whatever that looks like, and you're going to draw closer to them. And here's the other gotcha, and he said this rather bluntly. He said, you could, and this is what I experienced, not by their intention, but I experienced it nonetheless, you could make your family, whether they're little or whether they're just still under your sphere of authority and influence, you could make them Sabbath. And when they leave your sphere of influence, they will choose to never do it again. I was made to do this. I don't want to do that. Or you can choose to partner with them in Sabbath, like we've just described, and they'll do it for the rest of their life. Which one do you think Jesus wants? We don't work on Sundays. We're not going to do anything on Sundays, right? I'm going to give you law with that explanation. Tell me how long that's going to reside with you. Rather than if I model this for you and I show you the beauty and the depth of it, right? The other thing that came to mind, and I think some of you will appreciate this if you studied it, often some of the things that delight us take advanced preparation. And I was immediately drawn to the ladies in Israel as they're preparing for Shabbat. They have to prepare. Things don't just happen. They don't just, poof, it's ready to go. I didn't do anything, right? And sometimes they're employing the help of the littles to make sure it happened, or the dad is entrusted with doing something before it's time, right? Our things, our responsibilities don't go away. I'm not trying to trick you in that. You still have responsibility. But make the time, plan in advance, and say, God, how do you want me to go about this so that it's done so that I can truly rest? Make that list, start of your week, ensure that it gets done, and then provide a level of consistency, provide a level of, God, no matter what, I'm going to commit to do these things, and I will commit to not do these things, and forge that consistency, right? So there are times, and those of you that know Christy and I, our Sabbath is Monday, there are times that Mondays don't work out. And then I ask myself, is it lawful to do good on my Sabbath? And if it is, I'll do it. If it doesn't fall in that category and I don't have the peace of God, hey, I'm sorry, we can't do it. We're on our Sabbath today. But there are times that I do bend and I say, Lord, I believe I have your heart here. Can I do this? And he says, yes. And I do it. But I always reclaim that time. And a little nugget that I'll give you, and I don't know exactly how the guy said it. It's just kind of locked in my mind. So I'm going to give you the Chris version of it. This guy was talking and sharing, and I'll give you part of it. The preacher, he was talking about this statement. The preacher said, I want you to spend all of yourself doing the work of the ministry. Give all of yourself. And it sounds like, man, that's encouraging. Like, I want to give all of myself, right? But he said, you'll have all of eternity to relax. What? You know? It sounded good at first. I'm like, yeah, give all of yourself. You'll have all of your eternity to relax. No, I think Jesus wants us to have a balance of work and relax while we live out with him. Yeah, I've heard that a bajillion times, right? And then you've also heard the statement, when you find something that you love to do, you'll never work a day in your life, right? That's what we're talking about. What delights me? And you may not be doing it today. Maybe you're like, oh, that's a dream. That's a wish. That's a hope. Maybe it is. Make it a reality. Find out what it is. And then I wanted to read one more scripture to you as we close. So worship team, would you guys just get ready? I read a portion of scripture, just a little Chris tidbit here. If you haven't done it before, you're not too late to start. We are on day 12, which equates to Luke chapter 12. There are 24 chapters in Luke. We've read them, or we've been reading them all the way up to Christmas Day. So you will read the entire Gospel of Luke, Jesus' story for the 24 days. And so we have an app that that we have. It's called Dwell. And if you'd like to get it, let me know, and I'll get you a link. But we are following the unique part about it is it's an audio Bible. And the thing that I like about it even more than that is there's a memory mode that I can click, and it will read the scripture over and over and over again, the same one, so that I can commit to memory. So if you're not a visual rememberer, I just made that up on the spot, and you might be an audio one, let me know. I'll get you this app. And so in my reading of Luke 11 the other day, it popped out, and I said, hey, God, I think you want this here. So listen to what it says in just these couple verses in Luke 11, 21 through 28. I really believe the Lord says it ties to this. So he describes something to them. He says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says to itself, I will return to the house that I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and they live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. And Jesus replied, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And as I was thinking about this, as it pertains to what we've been talking about, the first statement was, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. The immediate verse afterwards talked about if that thing that you thought your safety was in is taken from you by someone stronger, you're ruined. Jesus wants us to dwell in him, and he in us. And in that dwelling in him, in that residing in him, we find all our safety. There's no one stronger than him. No one takes his armor. No one defeats him and beats him up and takes all his stuff. So I encourage you to analyze, Does my life look like this? Have there been things that I've neglected or confided in or made an idol of that is easy pickings for the enemy to come in, swoop in, steal, and my life is ruined? And then rather than turning to the master, I just try to clean it up, cover it up, make sure no one knows that it happened. And I end up being far worse than I was at the beginning. Who's your master? Like I said, it's easy to say that he's Savior. Yeah, I believe in your free gift. I believe that you saved me. But man, I don't know if I want you to tell me what to do. Will you change that today? Can you commit to take a step forward and say, God, I want you to be Lord and Master. Only you can defend. Only you can provide safety. And I'll encourage you in a scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, because he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus. Your victory has already been won. The things that you're battling down here are just skirmishes. So rather than retreating, what we actually need to be focused on doing is regrouping with the commander of heaven's armies and saying, all right, Master, Lord, what's your battle plan? How do we need to go at this again? I've been trying, but I've been failing. As I was thinking about this, I didn't have time to give it to our worship team, but I want you to look up a song. It's once again, a few years old, but it's called When I Think About the Lord. You will be blessed if you listen to the Shane and Shane version. I'm just going to throw that out there. But it says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, and how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned me around, and how he placed my feet on solid ground. My favorite part that they resonate, and it makes me want to shout, and they, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And man, they do it way better than me reading it. So I encourage you to check it out and to be blessed. So now as we're closing, worship team, just play something soft for us. I want you to take your card. So we're going to do this as a physical act, but what's going to go on is spiritual. I want you to take your card that you were interviewed, and these are the things that you, either thing or things that you gave that you delight in. And if you are already, man, you're already three steps ahead, you're already doing Sabbath with God, bless you. Ask God to take you deeper. But if this is new to you, I'm going to lead us in a prayer together, and we're going to finish in worship, but I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to show us how we can include him in the thing that delights us so that we can practice Sabbath together, all right? So just hold your card up, down, left, right, stand up, whatever is comfortable for you, be obedient to him. But I'm gonna lead us in prayer, and just pray with me. You don't have to repeat after me out loud, just pray in your spirit. But Jesus, I pray that you teach us how to practice Sabbath with you. Show us your ways, show us your rhythm that you have planned for us the moment you created us, the moment the thought of us entered into your mind. You had a plan and you had a purpose. Show us how to practice this delight with you if we're not already doing it. For those that are already connected with you in this way, Jesus, I pray that you take them deeper. I pray that you draw them closer and closer to your heart. And Lord, for both types of people, Jesus, I pray that this Sabbath, this truth of Sabbath and the holiness of Sabbath just erupts in their heart. I pray that it gets so big and so awesome to them that like the little kids as they get ready for Shabbat with mom and dad and they're making all these preparations, they're dancing down the street. It's like we're about to go to Disney World. Lord, let that excitement be in us when we think about Sabbath with you. That whatever we do, whatever day it's on, however we do it, Lord, the most important thing to you is that we do it and that you're included because you want to be with us. You want to be over us, singing and blessing us and prophesying the good things over us. As we live in Jesus, you said that you love us, that he's your son and you are well pleased with him. Lord, that echoes on us. Let us receive it. Lord, you are proud of him. So we know that you are proud of us. Let us live in that. And Jesus, today, anybody that does not know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that they can repeat after me, online or in person. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You called me good at the moment of my birth. In Jesus, I want to be good. Be the Lord of my life. Come inside. Lead me in all of your ways. I say yes to you. Help me to share this truth with everyone I come into contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. We've said the word a lot, but I hope you hear it different when I say it. He delights in you. You're not work to him. You're blessing. He blesses you. He's proud of you. You're special. You're important. You're loved. You're seen. Nothing is too insignificant in your life for him. You are not work. You are a joy. Take that and share that with somebody. Speak that over them. Speak that over your kids. Speak that over your family and your friends. Someone else needs to hear it. I encourage you. We look forward to seeing you on Monday or Wednesday night at our small groups. Tuesday night is our prayer evening. We'd love to see you there as well. We just lift up our city. We lift up our people. And we would love to have you be a part of any of those things. If you have questions for me or anyone in the front office, come by and let us know. We are in office Tuesday through Thursday. We are remote office the other days, but let me know if you need anything. We love you. We bless you. The worship team is going to lead us in a song. Please feel free to linger, but if you'd like to go, be blessed in Jesus' name. Love you guys.